Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On social media, follow along on Twitter and Instagram at 960 The Ref and on Facebook.com/960 The Ref.
All right, it's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. David Logan along with you. It is 8:06 this Tuesday morning. Another hot day in Athens coming up. 95 today, 95 tomorrow, 97 Thursday, 95 Friday, and then Saturday, your game day forecast. Hey, only 92. Wear sleeves.
I was hoping Coach Donna would bring some fall weather with him this morning, but he did not.
Well, hey, he kind of did. Hey, Coach.
This is a unusually hot fall, that's for sure, but we got a hot team right now.
Yeah,
so
we do.
Keep on trucking here with this team. I thought we made some really good strides from week one to week two, and certainly got a lot of players in that couldn't make the trip because of the 70 limit. Mm-hmm. That showed some real athleticism, and of course the crowd was great, and the everything going on with dedicating the field to Coach Dooley. It was just a big weekend for Georgia football.
Why is it that they say you or do you believe in the adage that teams make their most improvement from week one to week two, or do you buy into that?
You know, sometimes that's true, but I mean, it's just kind of an adage, like you say,
yeah.
Because it's not necessarily just going to happen, but what happens more than anything is you just get a feel for players on how they are going to handle the environment between the first week and the second week. You know what I mean? From the standpoint of a young guy that's never played and now all of a sudden he's subjected to the travel and the or a home game, whatever it might be, and the actual getting into the routine, because there's a lot of excitement involved, you know, going through the dog walk and just some of these guys hyperventilate during warm-ups. I mean, they just max it out, you know, because they're just so glad to finally meet that dream of theirs to be a college football player. So without getting too philosophical about it, I just feel like you just learn a lot about what your players can and cannot do under stress, you know. And so, and there's always things that happen that no matter how much you practice for or situational type things that you do to prepare your team, that you just can't cover all those things because there's so many things happen during a game that inexplicable, like last night for watching that Saints game for the Texans to let them, you know, even have a chance at a field goal is just that's professional football. I mean,
yeah.
That can't happen. You know, if a guy catches a ball in the middle of the field, just don't touch him. Let him lay there.
Right.
I mean, the whistle's going to blow when you touch him. So it's a tough loss, boy. But I tell you, Deshaun Watson, he can hum that rock.
it's
yes,
crazy to think the Bears traded up and took Mitchell Trubisky, who may wind up being great one day, but just I think that'll be something that's pointed out a lot that they passed over to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I tell you, the thing about these pro analysts or these pro guys, they just like these Tommy Gun arms. They like these guys that can throw it through a brick wall. And look at that velocity, because it is a short window up there. I mean, mm-hmm. These guys, they're playing pro defensive back and linebacker because they can really cover people. So you've got to have the velocity, but there's a lot to be said in today's game when you look at Kyler Murray and certainly Mayfield and now and Watson. These guys that can move around because you got these big old guys coming in there. And the reason that they make all the money rushing the passers, because that's what you got to do now. You got to rush and infect the passer. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, just watching the Patriots, I believe Belichick could go down to the bus station and get some guys and still win. I mean, every year they change their whole team. I mean, their line, their defense now is really good. I mean, they're athletic, and they got guys on the back end. Their secondary can flat-out cover. And, you know, he always runs all those coverages that Saban and Kirby and them run, all those disguise coverages. So, just to marvel at the way that guy personnel-wise. And he's made this move with Antonio Brown. I mean, it worked with Randy Moss. We'll see. But can you imagine if Brown starts getting in the slot with – they go double wide and four wide and have Edelman in one slot and Brown in the other. I mean, come on. Jeez. That's not going to be fair.
By the way, it also defensively, it certainly helps your team when your opponent, in this case Pittsburgh, kicks a field goal from the 1 yard line down 20 to nothing. I mean, what's the thinking on that?
I don't understand that either, because you're basically telling your team, hey, we scored a field goal.
Exactly. We're not going to get shut out. And guess what? They didn't. They scored 3 points.
And there's a lot of people got mad last week when New Mexico State kicked the field goal on the last play of the game to cover that 55-point spread.
But, is there a moral victory? I know, and as a coach, you may be completely anti-moral victory, but a lot of folks will look at it and say, hey, at least we didn't get shut out. But to me, that's just a silly mindset.
So who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
These guys that are in there for moral victory, they're not getting any long-term contracts. Although I don't think Tomlin is that type of coach. I think he's trying to get his locker room to understand. You know, they made a move and let Brown go, and they got a lot of – I mean, it's like a Herschel Walker trade for the Vikings when Dallas got all those picks for Jimmy Johnson. I mean, they got a lot of picks from Oakland. But it'll be interesting to see that whole AFC scenario, because all of a sudden it looks like Buffalo's a little bit better. Maybe the Jets could be. The Miami Dolphins look like, I mean, that's about as bad as I've ever seen a team look. 57 points to it. And how about old Jackson? Everybody talked about he couldn't pass. That's another mobile quarterback that's up there just driving them nuts. And
after he said, not bad for a running back.
Yeah, and that was pretty cool. And he's right from around that. You know, he's from Palm Beach Gardens down there, and just a really good high school quarterback that did great at Louisville and won the Heisman Trophy. But he's got good enough arm. If they've built that system around him where they know they're not going to try to do the things they did with Flacco, and they really do have a college. I mean, we've got two teams up there with you know, Arizona and Baltimore that are running the college spread offense. That's what they're doing.
Well, what is what do you look at when you're looking at these quarterbacks? Kyler Murray got off to a slow start on Sunday, but they picked it up there in the second half. And like you said, I mean, it looks like that. Now Cleveland, you know, they're funny. Everyone's on Cleveland, and then
I think Cleveland's been reading too many press clippings.
Yeah, I was going to say that seemed like a team to fade.
They got embarrassed.
Yeah, and, they did.
They're on Monday Night Football this week, so we'll see. But
speaking of teams that look terrible, who are going to be on the spotlight, the Falcons on Sunday night taking on the Eagles.
I mean, they went against they were up against a really good defensive football team.
Yeah.
And, I tell you what, every time I see Mike Zimmer, I think about when he was a GA at Missouri. I mean, the year before I got there, and we had this one guy that would go up to him and just kind of, if the fans out there and the people listening could just think, you've seen guys that kind of shadow box and act like they're going to hit you, you know. And
just,
hey, what do you think, Zim? And then all of a sudden, just give him a little shot to his left shoulder. We had this one guy that was always doing that. And he looked like Mr. Green Jeans. George Wheeler, he's passed away, but he was a good guy. But he was always kidding with Zimmer, and Zimmer didn't like it. You know, he really didn't. And he would always say something back to him. And George would say, hey, just get the gloves. Get the gloves. We'll mix it up, you know.
Yeah.
So one day they were in the locker room, and Wheeler goes up there and goes, bap, bap, bap on him, you know. And And he said, look, I'm tired of this, George. He said, just get the gloves. Just get the gloves. He said, I got the gloves. And he goes over in and gets these gloves, these boxing gloves out of the thing, and all the coaches are in the locker room. Yeah, yeah, let's go for it. Let's go for it. And then all of a sudden, they both put them on, and they're over there rubbing each other's shoulders down. Each guy's got a corner and everything. It's like a big boxing match. And here comes Wheeler out, you know, kind of doing on his Muhammad Ali on his bicycle out there. You know, he's about 240. And here comes old Zimmer, you can see he's a short guy. He goes out there and he hits Wheeler about three times and decks him. But you can just see how serious he is. Hey, I got the gloves. I got the gloves. He decked him and everybody pulled him away. But it was
Coach Zimmer looks like he could be mean.
Yeah, he is. It's one of the funniest things they say that's ever happened. I got the gloves. I got the gloves.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with him.
He was very cerebral coach. And he ended up going out to Weber State with Mike Zimmer and then coached some with him around. And then he got his big break going to the Cowboys as kind of an analytical guy and got on with Parcells, and the rest is history. I mean, he's very good. And, you know, their defensive coordinator is George Edwards, who was a coach for me, who is another very smart guy that we lost to the Cowboys when I was coaching here. And he's a very smart defensive coach, and the two of them together just really do a good job. But finally, they got some offense. You know, Dalvin Cook looks outstanding, and then that's what I'm hoping we're going to see with James Cook, because I'm going to tell you what, James Cook, he's got to get more touches. I mean, that's just no question about it. Every time he touches the ball, 15, 20 yards.
Is it by design, though, that he's not gotten the touches yet? Because I've long, all summer long, theorized that the Notre Dame game, I know we're not supposed to look ahead, but that would be the unleashing of some of these, you know, offensive weapons, and I certainly expect James Cook to be in that mix.
Yeah, I think a little bit. I mean, I don't think we're holding back that much. I just think we're just trying to share the load, you know, and Harrion deserves a lot of carries because he actually practiced more than anybody this fall because White had a little trouble with some heat, some hydration situation, so they really were careful about him. But I mean, Swift was. But I think the main thing, people say, well, you're holding back and all that. Who knows whether you are or not? But we got a lot of weapons on the offensive side, and we got a lot of different guys on defense that can play in these sub package, which those are packages that you use that are underneath your basic stuff. But you know, we can put in, you know, what we call the dime people, where you put in six defensive backs and another linebacker that really can run, and then you put in the guys to rush the passer. It's just the game has turned into a situational type game. You know, you put your personnel with their personnel. And I will give Murray State credit for something that I really thought was brilliant the other day that I'm sure the fans saw, but I'm just going to bring it out. Is, you know, there's a lot of teams that will wait and they'll look to the sideline and get the signal, but they'll be in their formation. You know, if everybody could just visualize that the team's at the line of scrimmage with their wide receivers set and everybody else, but they're all looking to the sideline to see what the play is. And then sometimes teams will just come out in a hurry up and they'll run the play real quick and the defense has to adjust. But Murray State waited till the last second to come out of the huddle and then sprinted to their formation so we couldn't visualize what they were in, you know, and be making many checks, which I thought was pretty good. Now, people will do that on first sound and come out of there early, you know, with 20 seconds to go on the clock and run a play. But, I mean, they waited till the last second to break the huddle, and they were very organized and trying to confuse us a little bit. It hurt us on that one touchdown pass where we didn't have anybody in the middle. So, kudos to their coaching staff for, you know, you're overmatched. So that was very smart by them.
Yeah, hey, they didn't come to Athens to just roll over and let Georgia win.
They did get that check. But
yes.
I read where the coach Stewart was saying, hey, we tried to have situational goals by quarter, you know, win the quarter or tie the quarter. And they had some of that, but they were just totally outmatched right on their pass protection. And when we cut it loose, we had, you know, 10 lost yardage plays, which is amazing. And I think we'll see a lot more of that with guys like Smith rushing the passer. And he's just a phenom-type athlete. He just – I mean – you know, some people from the rest home could have gone to the game and would have picked out that number four in the game.
I was going to ask you specifically about him because he's got one of those motors I don't think you can coach. He just goes out there and Kirby Smart had some very great things to say about him yesterday, about he's just willing to learn and apply what he's learned on every single play. But, I mean, yeah, we expect him, I think, to be a staple of that pass rush for the next 3 years, hopefully.
Yeah, when you get a guy that with that kind of buildup, I mean, when you're rated the number one player in the country, I mean, it's pretty obvious for reason because talent, effort, and everything involved. But the other thing is coaching-wise, he's getting some good technique work from Dan Lanning, who's an outstanding young coach. And, of course, Kirby's is around the whole defense too. So, he, you know, when you go against a really good player, like a good offensive tackle, he's going to have technique too. So even though you have ability, you got to have your ability to execute your assignment and everything like that. But you got to have some technique too, because two good players are playing each other. Technique comes into effect, and he certainly showed it. We saw that last night with Vaughn Miller. These people – you know, he makes more money than anybody in that defensive end, and that people, you get all these exotic pass protections to slow him down. But I'm telling you, Nolan Smith is the real deal now. Yeah. I mean, he just and I remember when we had Lawrence – I'm not going to put any extra pressure on him. I remember we had Lawrence Taylor at North Carolina, and we had our first scrimmage, and our defensive coach, which I won't say who he is, was a defense, and he was a very solid technician and a good football coach. But you know, he was always letting everybody know how he was going to coach this guy. You know, and not just Lawrence Taylor, but all of them. You know, and he started going into all this stuff about, yeah, we just got to work on his stance a little bit and work on his, you know, all these other things. And Coach Bill Dooley, who is Vince's brother, he said, well, I'm going to tell you one thing, Coach Crow, you can work on whatever you want to, but you better get his ass in the game.
Coach, there was one specific moment that stands out to me about the game in Murray State. Speaking of defense and pass rush, one of those tackles for loss that you just referenced, I can still see it in my head that after the play, it was Nolan Smith, Trayvon Walker, and N'Kobe Dean, the three of those guys kind of celebrating together. This young, and I know it's late in the game, and maybe, I don't know, in terms of playing time, but that nucleus that Georgia is building on that defensive side of the ball should have everybody very excited, not just for the future, but even today.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. Everybody has a tendency to talk about the guys that have just gotten here, you know, more than the people that we have.
Right.
Now, we do have some really good front people that you know, I thought Clark really starting to play like we expect him to, and certainly Monty Rice and Crowder are doing things. But when you put Quay Walker and Tindall and now N'Kobe Dean in there, these are fresh players playing in there at inside backer, and then all of a sudden you put Jermaine Johnson and also Nolan Smith on the edge coming in there for LRG and those guys. You just got some fresh guys and some athletic people that, you know, could play for anybody in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why they're rated five-star players. You know what I'm saying? They're just tremendous athletes.
When you mentioned his motor, talking about Nolan, I mean, is it kind of comparable to what we had with David Pollack when he was here?
Well, I mean, you throw away the mold on that guy. I mean,
three-time All-American.
Yeah, I remember when he was in camp here in the summer, and he had a pulled hamstring, and we told him, said, "Hey, David, you don't need to be show us anything. We want you, you know." "Yeah, but I'd like to show you what I can do, Coach." And we told him not. And then I turned my back, and they started playing 707, and he was down there at the other end going at it. So it's just there's just some guys got it from day one, you know what I mean? Got that unbelievable competitive nature. And certainly there's a lot of good players that aren't quite as motor running too, you know, and you got to keep them going. But
because I hear Smith can talk pretty good too for a for a true freshman.
Is that right?
Yeah, so some might say cocky. I might say confident. So I don't know, you know, how that goes.
I like those guys that are confident, you know, I mean, and the players recognize that too. It takes a little bit of that to be accepted, you know, not just the fact that you got talent, but the fact that you you can back it up, you know, and people like somebody when you're going back and forth to give you a little bit back, you know what I mean? It just, you don't want to get into a shell, but we got a very talented team, but we got some really good kids. I mean, just, I haven't, because my wife has been a little under the weather here, I haven't been able to be around them as much as I did in the summer. But I know that in the summer, I was just, I told Kirby, I said, you got good morale here. You know what I mean? If you got a team that feels good about himself and not griping about anything, you know, as compared to people finding something wrong with everything that's going on, then you know that morale is going to create a lot of good situations for you.
By the way, you Logan put a good coach. Photo of you on there you on our social media.
I want that hat, man. That's hey, a great old school Georgia hat.
I probably got that hat in the archive somewhere, but you know they.
I like that shot.
Golly, I remember the first game, second game I ever coached at home. You know, we finally beat Texas Tech, and then after the game, this some administrator said, "Hey, coach, we got a problem." I said, "What are you talking about? We just won." He said, "Well, Nike saw the game, and y'all had some. You had a couple guys on the sideline that didn't have Nike hats on. So they watch you. They watch your sideline and make sure your shoes aren't spatted. Boy, that makes them mad. If you got a guy taped over that Nike thing."
You got to draw it on there, though.
Hey,
don't you?
Yeah, they'll go nuts.
Yeah,
they'll go nuts on that. But they're paying a lot of money to get that exposure. But I didn't realize that they had a guy checking that. So,
what'd you tell them? You said, "Hey, you guys got to put the Nike stuff on."
Well, the next time before the game, I signed a GA to go out there during warmups and check everybody's spats and check everybody's hats and. We were all compliant then after that.
I mean, someone told me that schools have a stencil of the swoosh or whatever their brand is. And if you spat something, you got to mark it.
You say if there's a guy, it's the difference him playing or not playing because he got to have his shoes spat. You know, spatted means you go. Some people look for, you know, just like look great, you know, look like they're really big. But sometimes that extra tape can give you some support.
Right.
So, if you do that, then, you know, you just put the little swoosh on it. And I told you about the time we got those shoes at Marshall from Nike. we didn't have a Nike contract, but Switzer had helped us out with Nike when I was a coach, assistant coach. So I got him to call Nike, and they said, "We don't have any shoes, but we got some that we're getting ready to throw away that we'll sell you for $2 a pair." I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Yeah, but they got all different colors." I said, "We can get some paint." And so I went out there and told our team, I said, "Man, I got an announcement today." And they said, "What's that?" I said, "We're going to get you guys two pairs of practice shoes. We're going to get you three pairs of game shoes. And we're going to get you a pair of workout shoes to take on the trips." And they act like I was an idiot, you know, because you turn something like, and that's the only thing, problem is we're going to have to paint these when they get here. So here's the deal. We finally get them sent to us, shipped to us, and they're over, and this guy calls me over there at, what do you call that place where they deliver them to, the delivery place over there? Every place on campus, everything had to come in. He said, "We don't have a purchase order for them." I said, "A purchase order?" I said, "We got 500 pairs of shoes for $2 a piece." He said, "Well, you got to get some people to make a bid on these before we can do it." So I said, "Good gracious." I mean, we basically had $1,000 in these shoes. So I called up the sporting goods store, two of them, and they gave me, one of them gave me a bid for, you know, like $30 a pair, one for $15,000, one for $16,000. I took them over there. I said, here's the go. He said, "How did you get these for? Are these hot?" I said, "No." I said, "No,
they're
we got
stolen."
I said, "We got these from," but anyhow, our kids thought they'd died and gone to heaven and have all those shoes. It was awesome. Some of them didn't look that great when you put green over orange. Now it looked a little bit.
That's funny, though.
But we did some good painting on those.
Coach Donnan's here in the studio with us. Email us any kind of question you got for the coach, 960theref@coxradio.com. And I would like to thank, let's see, I'd like to thank Mark Logan,
okay.
who has sent us some formulas that I will post so that we don't have to struggle anymore. We're trying to figure out the over-under and the point spread for the projected score.
Mark is doing the Lord's work.
Over-under on what?
No, we had just taken like the – we were trying to figure out the formula to make it easiest. Like if you take the over-under and the point spread to figure out what Vegas is saying the final score is going to be for a game. So we were struggling a little bit.
So he gave you that?
He gave us a little formula there. So Vegas is saying that Georgia is going to beat Arkansas State 45-12.
Based on a
33-point spread and about a 57 or 58 over-under.
Yeah. So how many people did you have win on the Bud Light this week?
19.
Yeah, it's going to keep going down.
43 the first week and 19 in the second week. But and you that know, late touchdown by A&M saved a lot of people.
Oh, it did. And that same, I don't think many people took Alabama on that 3-point 54.5 spread. But
they almost covered it.
Yeah.
It was that close.
And I was right with about that pillow fight of the week. Did you watch Arkansas and Ole Miss? Good gracious.
No more than I had to. Yeah. It was not good.
0.00.
Vanderbilt's defense. Yeah.
We'll talk about the SEC teams and everything else. We'll kind of review this past week when we come back. Coach Donnan here in the studio with us.
Catch Brandon Adams and Dog Nation Daily, weekdays noon to 1 on Athens' Voice of the Dogs, 960 The Ref. Duelist Junkyard Dog. Duelist
Junkyard Dog. They'll hit ya. They'll knock ya. Welcome back in the morning show, 8:37 now. Presented by St. Mary's Medical Group, Logan and Dave, along with us as he is every Tuesday during football season, Coach Donnan bringing the jokes and the hot takes.
And we love it.
And we love every single second of it. You can...
That was a complete ad-lib, but I promise you, you just have so many interesting scenarios that happen to you when you're... when you're at different things that happen to you in coaching, and Dave and I talk a lot about it off the air about things that I couldn't say on the air, but it's some really, really funny things that happen.
Often said if we could just record the off air segments with Coach, that'd be a charge of a subscription.
And it's not any bad words or anything. It's just people, you don't want to put people in a bad situation there. But we had a guy one time, seriously. Our people were so paranoid at Marshall that we were letting people on the sideline that weren't supposed to be there, you know. And, you know, we're trying to build a program up, so it's kind of an incentive, you know, if somebody joined a quarterback club and give us a big donation, you know, because we had to get tutoring and all that stuff, you know, outside the regular budget. I mean, and we had a bunch of ladies, elderly ladies that we call the herd sideliners, that people that had – had ended up being retired or their husbands had passed away and all. And a group of about 40 ladies, and they volunteered their time, and they would come over and help tutor our players if they were teachers, or they would work in the secretarial pool. We only had one secretary, so they would file stuff and do – and they were great. And they made some cookies one time for us on a trip. And gave them to the players, and the compliance person said that was a violation that we were giving them, so we had to take some money out of their per diem to pay for the cookies. But anyhow, on the sideline, they were watching these guys, and this guy, this is during the game, the guy calls over to me, he said, "Hey, assistant AD is worried about number 76. He thinks it's so-and-so from up there at Sarita Canova. That you let dress out so we would have one of those fantasy thrills." I said, he's not a guy like that. He's one of our players. 76 is a player. They thought we had a guy dressed out and let him be on the sideline. I said, 76 is a walk-on from over there in Loganville. I mean, Logan, West Virginia. They thought we had a guy like, say, David Johnson. Yeah. We let you dress
that
out.
That was an incentive. The stuff you have to deal with, Coach.
I mean, that's during the game. I said, look, I can't worry about that right now. We got to try to win this game. But they're watching for stuff like that, see if they got the credentials.
Coach, speaking of winning games, give us your thoughts on Clemson's win over A&M and LSU's win at Texas.
You know, first of all, I thought Clemson's defense was magnificent. Considering all the guys they lost up front, they just made every play they had to. You know, Mon was off a little bit. He had some guys open that would have made the difference, you know, to make some first downs. But Clemson's defense, Brent Venables makes $2.5 million, and there's a reason why. He does a really good job of matching his defenses, using different coverages. And, you know, they play from a cover two shell where they have two safeties, but they mix up their corners a lot. And, you know, their offense was just good enough to, you know, put the game away. But, they, you know, Clemson's on a cruise control here. I thought Syracuse might be pretty good, but Maryland took them behind the woodshed. So I don't see, I mean, till maybe South Carolina because of the beating the rivalry, but I just don't see anybody giving Clemson too much trouble here, but unless it's Clemson itself.
Yeah. Logan and I figured that they'll be at least a 20-point favorite in every game the rest of the way.
Exactly. And we probably will be too, except for Notre Dame and
Auburn.
And
A&M.
Well, you never know. Yeah. They're a dominant team. The one thing, overriding thing that I saw in the LSU-Texas game, and it was on a little bit after our game, so, you know, I kind of had it on delay. But these defensive gurus, the guys that get all this attention, like Dave Aranda at LSU and Orlando guy, is his name. I don't know his first name. He's a defensive coach for Texas. Pretty stubborn now. They tried to match up man-to-man against both teams, and neither one of them could cover each other. And both quarterbacks had field days. And, you know, Ellinger's just good enough to keep the chains moving with his runs. But Joe Burrow is just flourishing in this new attack. I told you going last week when we matched up that game on Bulldog Friday night that I thought the quarterback that was the most accurate would win that game because they're going to beat a lot of receivers open. And he made every play that you needed to throughout the game. And they were able to win despite not having air conditioning in their dressing room.
How about that?
Now, you saw Texas came out with an official statement saying, no, we've got no complaints here and there. But what are your thoughts on that?
The only thing I know, that would really chap me if I was going to play a game in a major college and you go in there and your team doesn't have air conditioning and the other team does. I mean, it makes a difference at halftime. Mm-hmm. I mean, we used to take another uniform with us and when it was really hot, we'd change everything and come back out. You know how you feel when you – doing anything if you change clothes and got all that wet stuff off of you. So we'd take off our socks, everything, and change at halftime. But these guys, they're just so big and you got to keep them hydrated and all that. But
I mean, yeah, it's danger. I mean, Texas, I heard Louisiana Tech tipped off LSU on that.
Yeah, and said they brought some blowers in there at halftime. But, you know, Jackie Sherrill was a coach at Mississippi State, and he's a good guy, but he's also very calculated. And one Friday afternoon, before the team was having their meetings and all, he asked the coaches on his staff to write down five things that would really make the other team mad when they came to work out at your stadium on Friday, you know, before the game. Back then, people used to come work out. And so they had things like no toilet paper in the dressing room,
Weak.
Have the lights where all the lights out, no air conditioning, have the gates locked so they can't get in and disrupt them, you know, all these different things.
Yeah.
And people do stuff like that. And Jackie
painting the locker room pink.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Forrest Evershesky and those guys. Maybe it's the coach after Evershesky, the guy that Hayden Fry did that.
Yeah.
So, but just getting back to it, Jackie Sherrill was always trying to get in your mind as a coach, you know, before the game. And people say, what do coaches say before the game and when you're talking out there and everything? Hey, what can you say, really, you know? But we're playing Jackie Sherrill in 1997 here. And out there before the game, and I've known Jackie for a long time, and I still like him. He's a very good guy. But he's calculated, you know. I mean, he played for Bear Bryant. He's working on your head, you know. So before the game, he said, "Hey, this is an agricultural school, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah, we're an agricultural school, and we got plenty of different degrees." He said, "And, you know, Vince Dooley's your athletic director, ex-football coach, isn't he?" I said, "What are you talking about, Jackie?" He said, "How can you have grass this bad at a school like this?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, you should have the best grass in the country." I said, "Well, you know, we had a problem this spring with some, but our grass is as good as anybody. Just going to take a little while to grow back. We had something happen. I don't know what happened."
Well, something to do with the water from under the stadium.
Yeah, it was
something.
That. But he was out there. But he was trying to. I said, "Hey, Jackie, I know you. You're trying to get under my skin, you know." I said, and I just kind of laughed at him, and I said, "But I'm just going to tell you what. You know Joe Lee Dunn, your defensive coordinator?" I said, "I got so tired of watching his tape for the last 2 years about all those junk defenses they ran. I said, after the game, I want you to talk to me about what we're getting ready to do to y'all this afternoon." Because I never talk like that to a guy before a game. But he would hit me like that. Well, you know, we beat them 47-0. And the reason we did it is that I told our players, we don't know what to do with their defense. We need to line up in different looking formations. Even if you're not going to line up like that, just shift. And we had them so discombobulated, they didn't know how to line up because we were lining up in all these screwy formations. Put Robert Edwards out wide receiver and stuff like that. But Jackie trying to jump on me with that, "Hey, y'all's grass is bad." But after the game, he said, "Well, you certainly had Joe Lee's number."
That is – when you're watching the tape on something like that, I mean, that is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Lee, everybody knows he had all those weird defenses. You know, they would come up there with 11 guys on the line and then bounce out and all that stuff. And just got to the point where I said, "Look, we can't worry about what they're doing. I want them to worry about us a little bit."
And yeah.
We had a defensive guy that transferred from Ole Miss. He went to a junior college, and then he came to Georgia. And then – but he actually played at Ole Miss when Joe Lee was the interim head coach, and they didn't get along very good. So – you got to remember the guy's name is Joe Lee Dunn, D-U-N-N. So after the game, he went running up to him, and I was shaking hands with Coach Cheryl, and he ran up to Joe Lee and said, "Joe Lee, you're done."
Oh, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. By the way, one other game from this past weekend I wanted to ask you about, Coach.
I'm worried about LSU. I think they got Alabama, but, I mean, they're a definite – top five team if their defense can get better, but their defense look very suspect to me, but their offense is very talented.
What about last year was Oklahoma that escaped Army, and this year it's Michigan that escapes Army?
I'm just telling you, they got to be sick to have the ball first. I don't know if you watch it, but it's 14-7. They got the ball first and goal on the one. And I'm sitting there with my wife, Mary, and I said, "Look," I said, "they're getting ready to go ahead 21-7 right here in the third quarter. And they're not going to be able to come back on them because Army's going to keep the ball."
Michigan may not get two more possessions.
And I said, "They got them." And then some guy, always worry about this on the goal line. You high school coaches or anybody's listening there, when you're on the goal line, don't do a lot of shifting and motion and stuff where your team can be hair trigger and jump off sides or have illegal procedure because somebody on the defense is yelling out, "Motion, motion," and then you jump off side. Well, they get a 5-yard motion penalty on first and goal on the one. Then they get back. So end up third down. I said, "Hey, just kick a field goal right now. Don't even run a play. Third down, kick a field goal. You're up 10. And they call timeout. They wait, let it go down. They go over there and they run some play that looked like they'd drawn it up in fantasy football.
Yeah.
I mean, they rolled the guy out and he threw the ball right to Michigan. And from that point on, Michigan was in the game, and then they go to overtime. Michigan made some bad calls there at the end of the game, too. I mean, I think Michigan's whole season's going to revolve around when they play Wisconsin in 2 weeks. If they get drubbed by Wisconsin or beaten by Wisconsin, everybody's going to be on them. They'll still have to play Michigan State. They'll still have to play Penn State and Ohio State. So You know, and everybody's just on him. Hey, he's making $9 million. He's never beaten the top 10 team, all that stuff. It's just going to be add fuel to the fire, you know. But they're
in
very,
giving up a point,
very fortunate to win the game, very fortunate. And so was Oklahoma last year. I mean, Army has a heck of an attack, and they know what they're doing, and they got some good athletes. And one of my ex-players is the offensive coordinator there. Davis is the offensive coordinator, played tight end for us. He didn't play a lot, but he's doing a great job for him.
All right, Coach here in the studio with us. Got some questions lining up. We'll get to those when we start out the second hour as the Dogs get set to take on Arkansas State this weekend. And the email address 960theref@coxradio.com. It's 850.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker on your voice of the Dogs.
Athens Sports Radio 960, The Ref.
All right, we got about a minute before we break again. We still got another hour to go here with Coach Don, and it is the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group.
Let's give some love to Rich Robich. That was a linebacker.
That's your guy.
That did it. Good job by you figuring
Rich
out.
Robich.
Rich was a good player for us, and he enjoyed getting up, going up, and getting in Joe Lee's face. But
That's a funny story there with him and getting in. And you had some good players back then. Talked about that.
People don't even – you know, you talk about Seymour and Stroud, but Antonio Cochran from down in South Georgia played for the Seahawks forever. Just tremendous player.
No kidding. I mean, it's –
Marlis Leroy, defensive lineman from down in Albany, played for the Jaguars. Just thick. Josh Millard, people don't talk about him, but, man, was he a good player.
Talk about a guy with a motor.
he and Pollock's motor.
Yeah.
Now, our scout team, you know, when he was playing on the scout team, our O-line used to get so mad because he would go so hard all the time, you know, and you need to tell those guys, cut it back a little bit, you know. And, of course, the coaches want him to go, but the players say, look, hey, just take it easy, man.
It's too disruptive.
Yeah.
All right, we got another hour to go with the coach. We'll hit the emails on the other side. Well, we spend the first hour looking back. We'll spend the next hour looking forward to the college schedule coming up. It's 8:57.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.